was Aldrin's lying about what they saw. Yeah, 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 yeah. The NASA photos and base layouts match. Yeah, 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 yeah. There's also clearly a nuclear stack. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Mike Barra's talking out his ass. Yeah, 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 yeah. NASA says that there's no risk. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll see you in heaven after Death Star blast. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Georgie, did you hear about this one? Tell me about the gun on the moon. Georgie, have you seen Alien Elvis? Hey, baby, you're all out of touch. If you believe they put a base on the moon, base on the moon. If you believe that elf's on the moon, then you're just a tool.
Sci-Fi Malady, symptom 154, Moonbase. Otherwise known as the one where the Rage Master swears.
Yeah, that would be a barely swear, but I guess it was the only way to make that work well, okay? Anyhow, welcome back, Stickies, to another conspiracy. This one is actually one of the more fun ones. It's about aliens on the moon. And to christen this episode, I am drinking Martian soda. I just picked it up today. In fact, I haven't drunk it yet, so just give me one quick second, because it says I can taste Mars, and it's kumquat flavor. I think I should have read the label before I bought it, but let me try it.
Are you telling me there's kumquats on Mars now?
Yeah. It's pretty good. I would drink this again. I like this. Martian soda. This is a Sci-Fi Malady not endorsement of Martian soda. Okay. Or maybe it's an endorsement. I don't know. Maybe
pay us, it'll be an endorsement.
I think I might contact them and then get you guys some Martian soda. And speaking of Martians, let's go into these Martians on the moon, because if you believe they put a Martian moon base on the moon, then you're just a tool. But I just have to say, first of all, in my mind, this is one of the more fun ones. This is the Bigfoot one was fun, hilarious. The last one was not fun. It was infuriating. And this one's just fun because it's like there's like a little nugget there that makes you interested. There's one little story from Buzz Aldrin that you're like, ooh, that sounds neat. But then the whole thing falls apart when the rest of the story comes out. So
yeah, especially when you hear Buzz Aldrin's explanation of it. And there's another interesting moment when you find out that, yeah, you know, Neil Armstrong did switch to the medical channel for about 2 minutes. I don't think that it's what the conspiracy theorists say that the amateur ham radio operators recorded. But, you know, I mean, it just doesn't sound like Neil Armstrong when you read the transcripts. I just can't imagine him saying, these babies are huge.
Yeah.
Well, not just that. So, you go, wait, amateur ham, you're telling me you were powerful enough to pick up a signal from the moon and get clear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe not from the moon.
I will say this.
I had a jumped CB radio that could pick up NASA frequencies. It went in that band. So is it possible that they could have been on the band that NASA was using? Yes. Is it likely? No.
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 And you know what's interesting too about this one is that there's a scene in I believe it was the first documentary you had us watch, Scott. Someone else is on the moon. What was it?
Yeah, that one's a book. It was Aliens on the Moon.
Aliens on the Moon. And there was a NASA scientist who explained how these asteroids collided with the moon, creating these craters, and that's where they come from. And then after that, it's almost like the show's like, oh, crap. we accidentally recorded the real information.
Use a photo of what it could look like.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like they had to quickly switch gears because they realized, the astronomer who knows what they're talking about gave us the facts. Bail, quick!
So their interview with Buzz was almost as bad because they're like, A, you never heard the question they asked to Buzz, and the second part was every time Buzz started answering their question, I use quotes here, he would always almost debunk the point they were trying to make in his answers.
Yeah, so this whole thing is just, it's fun because of that, because it's so sheerly ridiculous, but it has one point of merit. There is one good thing in this entire conspiracy theory.
What is
one
that?
One great thing. At least everybody in it does not deny the moon landing.
That's true. And some of them were in other documentaries denying the moon landing.
I was about to say, Mike Barra's in the Ancient Aliens episode. I saw Mike Barra and I'm like, Mike Barra!
He's even in the Aliens on the Moon documentary too for a minute. Yes. Like, yeah. This is just how he makes his money.
I suppose he would argue that he did that post Science Channel conversion, but no, I'm pretty sure this is, like you said, he's just a low life
2015
leech who's just making money off of lies.
Yeah. That documentary was in, I think, 2015, and the Science Channel one was 2018. So let's start this with some comedy real quick here, though. I'm going to read you. This is the supposed transmission that Neil Armstrong sent. Now, you tell me if the first few lines of this sound, if you can't hear Al Bundy saying this rather than Neil Armstrong. These babies were huge, sir. Enormous. Oh, God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there are other spacecraft out there lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us. Make it sound like Neil Armstrong. These babies were huge, sir. Wow. No, that could sound just like Al at the nudie bar.
Neil Armstrong was not a man of words. Everyone knows that. His biggest argument with you was when he said no. And more to the point, when you listen to the rest of their conversations in that, or any astronaut in the Apollo missions, it was really boring.
Yeah.
They report it like they're looking at mathematical equations.
Yeah, just so more than likely it would
four.
Be.
Copy that. Four, yep. 2 squared is 4. Yeah, we got a copy for that.
Yeah, more than likely if there was aliens, it would be very much, there seems to be objects, people, humanoid, staring at us.
Yeah, it would be something like, command, we apparently have some structures. It could be, it would say something like command or Houston. It wouldn't go, these babies.
Yeah.
Houston, we have some unidentified craft here.
Well, that's almost like as bad as the video, and I use this very loosely, evidence for Apollo 20.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. But you know what?
All right, I know. I'm just saying
that's
a good example where you go, yeah, quality.
Yeah. So speaking of quality, let's start with the first thing that, now, I don't know about you guys, but I watched the Aliens on the Moon, and then I watched Ancient Aliens episode. I think it was season 11, episode 11, Moonbase. And all of them just harped on this photo evidence, which I think Scott put it best when he called it the Rorschach test.
Yes, that's all it is.
Because when you look at it,
you look at shadow and then you color it a certain way and you go,
Precisely. It's just like, Scott, your Kennedy assassination photos, where you take this smudge it this way, color this smudge, color that smudge, smudge that way, color that smudge, and it looks like a cop. Or the Simpsons episode where they were the cat burglar, where they had thumbtacks in the city of Springfield's, a map of Springfield, going, well, there doesn't appear to be a pattern, but if we move this tag here, and this one here, and this one here, it looks like an arrow. Jeez, that arrow is pointing at this station. Let's get out of here.
I was also thinking you were going to go with Marge's mother or grandmother's collection of potato chips that look like celebrities.
Oh, yes.
Someone pointed out like this. These things on the moon, you know, when you see these images on the moon, to me, it has as much validity as the person who claims they've seen the image of Elvis in a piece of toast.
Yeah.
Right.
If you look long enough, I can find a piece of toast that looks like Elvis.
Well, not just sure. That, but none of these photos that they point to at all is high res. It's always the bluey photo where it's like, as you can see, it looks like, and I'm squinting going, I don't see it. I don't see it.
You can find a couple of these easily debunked too, where, we're just going to talk over each other. Easily debunked where if you get to the original photograph, the supposed spire or column isn't there.
Yep.
Well, and here's the problem with these photos before we go into any nitty gritty. It's that as an educator, one of the things we have to study is schemas. And your brain is hardwired to find patterns.
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing it looks for is faces. That's the first thing. And if it can't find a face, which goes back to the whole Mars face rock, it sees something that vaguely looks like a face. So it's a face because that's what your brain is hardwired to see.
Correct.
Yes. But then if it can't find a face, it looks basically it's like a computer. It looks for anything in your memory that matches what that image possibly is. So if you cannot see anything that looks like a smokestack, if you see something and you don't know what it is, and the best your brain could come up with is smokestack, then that's what it is. It's, you know, I was talking to a guy last Sunday. He tried to, I forget what we were talking about, but he tried to pull out the old, well, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And I said, that's true, unless you're looking at the duck from 100 yards away. And that's what it is without evidence. Without evidence, it doesn't matter if it looks like a duck from across the football field. You're too far away to know. That's what this is here.
Yeah, but not just that, but these photos is always like, it's from one very particular angle.
Exactly.
It's like the face on Mars. Yeah, you took a photo from a different angle, and wow, it's not a face anymore. Just how the shadows fell on us.
Right. Precisely. You look at it the right time of day, the right way. Yeah, it's a face. But then you go 30 degrees that direction. Now it's just a rock.
Yeah, and also some of these were like, it's a pyramid. And I'm like, no, it's a fucking hill.
Exactly. It's a pointy. Like, let's see what they saw. A nuclear stack, a cannon. Figure that one out. Armstrong saw a flying saucer, and that led to other people seeing flying saucers.
Oh, don't forget. Yeah, the nuclear one's one of my favorite.
Yeah. People. Yeah.
Nuclear missile site. And you go, how do you get a missile site out of this?
The nuclear silo, pointy towers, satellite dishes, monument faces, and my favorite, bridges, or possibly sandworms from Dune.
Also, don't forget. There's also pyramids.
Ah, yes, of course. That's where the Egyptians got their idea. Excuse me.
Also, somehow the dark side of the moon that's not the dark side of the moon holds a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but that's what's so funny. They never dwell on it for too long, and then they go away from it, and then they come back and re-highlight it. Because really, unless they show you that precise image and highlight it just the right way, you would never have seen it to begin with.
And again, it's never a high-res photo. I'm like,
no, never. It goes back to what Scott said about the JFK thing. They show the highly enhanced speculative colorized photo, and it looks like that. Take it away. What do you see?
I see a bunch of blurs and some pixels.
Yeah.
I mean,
it could be this. It could be reflection from a bottle. It could be someone cast in a horrible expression as they're watching the president getting killed. It could be a lot of things.
Black Dog Man is my favorite one of the Kennedy assassination. Badge Man I can kind of see. Black Dog Man is just like this like cartoon character from Spy versus Spy that appears to be caught in mid-turn running. You mean like anybody else who would have been on the grassy knoll with rifle shots ringing out?
Yeah. You're right, because I personally only watched the one, Aliens on the Moon, Crazy Work Week, so I got to watch that one.
But that one had the most photo anything. Like a good 40 minutes of it was that.
They jumped. That's the thing. They jumped. They never lingered on one thing. They jumped from one to another to another to another and just colorized and pointed to a thing and said that's what it was.
I just I love this one too.
The GI version.
The aliens are going to travel interstellar distances to get to the moon. To build a giant cannon?
Yep.
To kill
one
us.
One giant fixed cannon. It's. Yep. I mean, if it's a cannon, it is a fixed, gigantic, mega cannon. It is the Omega Mega Cannon. This is what your best... like. And the guy's like, it's a Death Star laser. The moon is a Death Star. What?
Yeah, so, there was also the guy who's like, I saw, watched videos with the Defense Department or whatever, these generals, and they're watching a laser battle. Not a laser battle, but whatever. And then they're going, oh, and the one guy's like, where did you think they came from? And I said, 40,000 light years away, I heard. Long supply chains. He's thinking of a military combat. Or maybe he's making a joke of your stupid comment.
Yeah, and okay, so it's long supply lines. Exactly, General. How are you going to attack their communications and get a side of their supply lines? What, are you going to fire up the old Apollo craft and lurch and limp that thing to their supply lines? They've got an interstellar supply line. Nothing we got is going to disrupt it.
Well, this is the other thing, I texted you to this. Either there's two options here. Either they're currently building a new state-of-the-art base on the moon and going to make a staging post to conquer us. Okay, why on earth, if you need can fly light years, do you need a staging post?
But I know, right? At that point, why don't you just go ahead and do it?
Yeah.
And the other thing being, also, apparently all these things are broken and shattered and falling apart. And like, there's a dome over here that obviously has collapsed from all the meteor impacts. So wait, either this is all old, obsolete stuff that's falling apart from an ancient civilization that's no longer around, or it's new stuff that's being built now, and they're harvesting stuff now. One or the other. It can't be both.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the only thing I would, look, Battlefield Earth may have got one thing right. If there's an alien species advanced enough to travel interstellar distances and they're bent on conquering us, it would last about, our resistance would last about 6 minutes.
If.
Yeah.
If.
I mean, I just keep looking at this. It's like, what are we talking about here? There's aliens on the moon. We got to get back to the moon so that we can get the aliens off the moon. If there are aliens building a base on the moon, we're screwed. We need to send diplomats to the moon. Need to ask them what rituals of obeisance they want us to perform. Because we're not winning a battle. Our best rocket might be able to get to Mars. We're not sure.
Plus, let's be honest here. This sounds way too much like the plot of Prometheus. Because later in that, in the Ancient Aliens documentary, they talk about the necessity of the moon and Earth's gravity and tides and everything. And they're right. But they're trying to argue that the moon was put there by the aliens to, I don't know, much like the Bigfoot thing, the Kree. They tried to make us humans like the Kree from Marvel. And after making humanity, what, they decided to kill us? So they put a cannon on the moon?
That they never used?
Really? James Cameron, we now know where you got the idea for, or Ridley Scott, we know where you got the idea for Prometheus.
This isn't it's not a cannon. You know what it is? It's a giant camera. Because this is a reality show like the Truman Show. Was it South Park where they had Earth the reality show?
Yeah, Earth the reality show. They put all these different alien races together, like different races and deer.
Yeah.
And they were like, Earth.
That's about the only thing that I could think that there would be a point of camouflaging the moon as a base to observe how stupid we are.
Maybe they're watching us. That's it. They're watching primitive humans and go, we're taking bets on how long they survive.
If the moon is a hollow spaceship, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, and that it's an observation post. But the moon's not hollow. We pretty much know that at this point.
But that was the theories.
Well, this is because the
the Bell theory, but I guess I didn't put that on the list, but the Bell theory that they dropped something and it made a bell sound like it was hollow.
It rang like a bell for an hour. The moon's hollow. Get up.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll do that later.
Well, this is okay. They made a point. I will give them 1 point. Okay, they are correct that the moon has a whole bunch of H3 on it.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they're absolutely right. It's very valuable resource. Could be absolutely used as a fuel source. Good, you get a point then. But then you pivot from that and go, they're mining more of mining the moon to, oh, they're also sucking the sun dry.
Right.
Yeah, what? Which reminded me of the whole time of this, I thought, this is it. This is where JJ got all of his ideas.
They just keep...
He's as devoid as the ancient aliens people.
And then, you know, let's just take that out to its logical conclusion. You don't think that there's a more efficient way to get H3 than to travel interstellar distances, to harvest it on a secret moon base, and then shuttle it back interstellar distances?
Yep.
I gotta think there's not enough helium on the moon to make it worth traveling interstellar distances to get to. It sounds like hopping on a plane and flying to China to collect $5.
Yeah. Well, and you know what else it sounds like? With the sun, sucking up the sun's energy. You mean you couldn't find an unoccupied star system closer to you?
Or just occasionally leech some out of your own sun? Because occasionally they're apparently not taking so much from our sun that it's doing any damage.
Yeah.
But that was the other point where I'm looking at it going, it's just a solar flare. Literally, that's what it looks like. But okay, we'll go with it's a plant. It's a some kind of shuttle resupplying. Okay, so you're telling me that somehow you're going to tell me that taking plasma from a star is somehow efficient. A, you have to have a shuttle that can survive that kind of heat, pressure, gravity, all that.
You need a sun crusher.
Yeah, and somehow you're going to tell me it runs off of plasma? That's not going to be that efficient.
None of it. I mean, all of this stuff just falls apart. This is my problem with all of it. It falls apart if you just take a few minutes of extra saying, okay, yes. Now, could they efficiently, is this an efficient use of resources? No. Any society smart enough to develop technology to travel interstellar distances, I mean, unless it is so resource friendly that it doesn't cost them anything to get here to get the helium, they wouldn't be stupid enough to waste money on a negative cost analysis venture like this. And if they could instantaneously travel at light speed across the galaxy without it being an enormous resource drain, why do they need our resources?
Yeah.
They're probably in a post-scarce. I've got to imagine if you're an interstellar traveling society, you probably solved resource scarcity.
Or at least have it to the point where it's a non-issue. It's like, yeah, we might run out of resources at some point, but it's not anytime in the near future.
Yep.
Once we finish mining everything we can find, sure.
Yeah. And if you were intergalactic strip miners just out for some new resources and you were, imperializing, and building an empire, why would you hide yourself in the moon? Yep. Why wouldn't you just show up and say, all of your crap is ours now?
We're strip mining the moon.
Welcome your new overlords. We're taking what's on the moon and all of this resources you have on Earth. And, you know, most of you are going to die when we're done just because there's not going to be any resources left. Good luck with this. Yeah. This is the end of your race.
Yeah. Oh, again, you're absolutely right, because this is the thing which was, to me, the most shocking bit was when they went to the military one, where they're like, oh, they're building a base. I'm like, no, they're not, because we would be dead.
Yeah.
It's over. There's no point. Now, if they're going off the other part when they were like, it's an ancient civilization that's collapsed, okay, I guess we could go with it. Maybe.
Yet somehow their artificial constructs have survived longer than any evidence of life itself.
Right. And again, that's why I said, I guess we can go with it. It's not good.
Yeah. The only, yeah.
You go, And again, it's like, oh, look, that perfectly shaped saucer, which somehow has survived on Moon for how long?
Yep.
You're telling me a saucer can survive meteor hits forever?
I also love conspiracy theorist logic. And you know, it's like they stop halfway there. The odds of the moon being in its perfect rotation and the perfect size ratio of the Earth and the Sun to create a solar eclipse and just being where it is like 1 in 100 trillion. It can't be there by accident. And then you got Giorgio Tsoukalos. I want to know who built the moon and who placed it there. Jesus, yeah. Giorgio, come on, man. Listen, it is also 100 trillion to 1 long shot that the Earth would orbit exactly the distance that it needs to from the Sun so that life could emerge here. Anything, any exact scenario, point to anything. It is 100 trillion to 1 shot that it happened. Does that mean it didn't happen coincidentally? A scientist once said, you know, a good theoretical scientist or experimenter said, 1 in 1 million chances happen every day. They happen all the time.
The lottery is a great example.
Right. A 1 in 1 billion chance happens every day. It doesn't mean anything.
No. And my point is the lottery is the perfect example because every time someone wins the lottery, it's unlikely because the lottery is a crazy impossible chance that anytime you buy a lottery ticket, you will win. But somehow people win it. So does that mean aliens now are causing the lottery? What?
So I think what's interesting, since we're going on about alien bases here, a good way to wrap up this point is Mike Barra, who says there's no question that there's evidence that the moon is a vessel or a base. But what's funny is then the Ancient Aliens program says we have photos of structures, even though NASA has never proven it. So they're saying that all these things are true, military base or hollow moon, or there's no question, no evidence, no question at all, even though it's never been proven.
Yeah, it's like it's a starship, but in addition to being a starship, there's structures on the hull of the starship. What? It's like me looking at something and saying, it's a piece of cake, but this piece of cake is also a steak. Look at my steak cake.
Yeah. And here's and to go even further, it's like there's like you said, Scott, they go halfway. There's conclusive evidence, except there isn't. Another good example for when they were for the photos. Edgar Mitchell, former astronaut who's a kook now.
Yes, he went completely insane.
He says the program said, though he hasn't seen the structures itself, but this is funny. Because they're talking about the photos, and Edgar Mitchell, they say, though he hasn't seen the structures itself, he can testify to it. When not 2 minutes before that, they said he saw them. 2 minutes before, they were like, Edgar Mitchell was witness to this. 2 minutes later, though he hasn't seen the structures himself.
Oh, yeah.
I guess legal had some words with Ancient Aliens to say, you're going to have to scale that back because his estate might challenge you and...
Well, it's literally no one went through and proofread and went, oh, wait, we contradicted ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
They contradict themselves constantly. That's the problem.
Yeah, lots of clear evidence is just contradictions, Rorschach test smudges, and people who have zero proof despite saying it. It's all fun, but as you said, Scott, they go halfway with what's the 1 in 1 trillion chance, and then they show you a Rorschach smudge of a moon dune worm.
Yeah, and then let's give you some more things to consider with Edgar Mitchell when you consider the veracity of his testimony. After NASA, he left NASA to conduct experiments in consciousness and paranormal phenomena and became a parapsychologist. He also claims that a man called Adam Dreamhealer used remote healing and viewing to cure him of kidney cancer. And he's been sued by NASA. And Adam Dreamhealer was a teenager living in Vancouver who healed his kidney cancer from a great distance. Mitchell said that while he never had a biopsy, he had a sonogram and MRI that was consistent with renal carcinoma. So the Dream Healer remotely cured Edgar Mitchell of the cancer that a doctor never diagnosed him with. Gotcha.
So, yep, gotcha, Eddie. Gotcha.
He also claimed to have ESP contact with his friends on Earth during the Apollo 14 flight. NASA, you really messed up on the psychological screening here.
Wow. Yeah, I'm kind of glad that Neil and Buzz were the first ones on the moon. You go, yeah, I see you saved the crazy astronauts for later.
So, yeah, I guess taking photographic takes from this guy is a safe no.
Yeah, and there's probably a reason NASA sued him.
Probably.
Yeah. We got a couple more here that are worth looking at. Buzz Aldrin's lights. Now, this is an interesting one. This is the one that actually, if this is the first thing you hear, it piques your interest. It's the idea that while going to the moon, Buzz said that they reported seeing some lights following them. And then they had to let it go because they were too busy or some such. This is enough to make you go, huh, wonder what that was. And then you find out and go, oh.
Yeah. You find out that Buzz is pretty certain it was the panels that light was reflecting off of that they had ejected when, you know, on the multiple stages.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, because when talking about that, Buzz said that basically conspiracy theorists are just going to keep changing the story, just keep changing the benchmark. They're never going to be satisfied with any explanation, which makes me think, boy, it must be tough being a conspiracy theorist, having to constantly drag that benchmark around every time someone debunks them. And he's right, they're just never happy. It's always the official test. It's always the official story. They're always wrong. And it's so sad that anybody gives them the time of day. If I'm going to get on a high horse here. If I could wave my magic wand, Ancient Alien, and I took over History Channel, let's say, I would make sure, first of all, Ancient Aliens and any show like that was my possession. And then I would make it so that it dies with me. No one will ever pick it up again.
Until your estate sells the rights.
Oh, no. See, I'm going to find a way to make it so that it dies with me. My estate will not have it.
I don't think it works that way.
I will find a way, Scott. Let me quote Palpatine, Darth Sidious. I will make it legal.
Yeah, I think that if you don't pass on the rights to someone to do something with it, then it becomes public domain and then everybody can do something with it.
Ha. So then I will grant it to a rock.
Leave it to your cat.
I will give it to my cat. Excellent.
No, he will just make it have one episode that's 5 seconds long every 5 years.
Ooh, that's a good idea. So every after my death, there will be one episode 5 seconds long for the next 500 years.
Yeah.
And we'll just film one episode and you get 5 second, 2 second smudges.
There you go.
And perfect. Actually, there'll be different episodes because then people will piece it together. So never mind. Forget that.
But I get what you're saying because, yes, this is shocking that they have gone as far as they have with all this. I mean,
yeah, it reminds me of a guy I knew once in high school. Someone we used to know, Scott. His uncle told me. He looked up at the sky, pointed at some random place and said, "See up there? I can't see it, but I know there's a satellite looking at me right now." And not being very clever at the time, I didn't think to say, "Really? The U.S. government is spending all of its satellite resources to look at you, a nobody on a Honda motorcycle." Yes, of all the people that they would want to look at, you are at the top of their list.
Well, I would say technically he's right, but not because he was actually right. More accurately, there's a satellite looking at him, not because they're looking at him. They're looking at a huge area.
I was going to say, if it sees him because he happens to be in the area, that's one. But he's thinking, he was like, it's looking directly at me. No, it's not. Not unless your name is Not unless you're on like a criminal suspected list or something like that. You're just a nobody on a Honda motorcycle. They're not going out of their way to focus satellites on you. Well, nonetheless, that's the kind of conspiracy stuff that bugs me, because they never, it goes the same thing with the anti-vaxxers and all of them. They're just never satisfied. There's just never an explanation good enough to make them say, oh, huh. And that's the other thing, as we learned from Mike Barra last week, how many of them are real? How many of them are not just charlatans milking off of people's stupidity or gullibility?
Talk about charlatans. Go with the guy who came up with the Apollo 20.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we could jump onto that. Sure, that's skipping ahead, but why not? Apollo 20, the idea that there were three more Apollo missions and Apollo 20 was the Soviet-American combination, and they got to the moon and they landed near a vessel which looked like a moon dust-covered rock, and they had an alien inside the vessel, a mummified alien woman who looked like she was from India, I guess. And it talked about the tantalizing breasts. It's like, you know, that alien looks like a human.
How about
like a clay wax figure?
I know.
How about the third eye?
Oh, yeah. Got to have that so that the Georgios Tsouklios can have some material later on in life.
Well, not just that, but looking at the video, and I use that very loosely,
yeah,
it looks like someone just did a CGI project. Some of
not
that video.
That.
I'm looking at that going, bad. That spacecraft looks like someone literally made it an asset in CGI and just stuck it there. It's not believable. And
yeah,
you're telling me that's supposed, hey, how did you on Earth get video from that angle? Because you shouldn't have access to that video, period.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're going, oh, look, that doesn't look believable. That looks absolutely unbelievable. Gotcha.
And the Apollo 20 logo, it's like, oh, yeah, look at that. That's totally what they look like. Okay.
Well,
glad that was prominently displayed in the right place.
Yeah, and also, don't forget, they somehow landed next to the Soviet landing craft.
Yeah. Well, see, that was part of the intermingling there, you know.
Yeah, because obviously.
What about the release of the video? They came released by the astronauts or whatever in 2007. 2007, you say? Why wait?
Yeah.
What was the gain of waiting so long?
Well, and also don't forget, they never met the person. They only talked to him on. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh,
you're right. Everybody online is acting, and there's nobody make catfishing anybody online. No.
Yeah. Says they were serious. They were the astronaut.
Okay. Sounds good enough to me.
Look, we got at least video that looks like it was filmed in a garage.
But it could be misinformation leaked by NASA to throw people off of the real story of a base on the moon.
I love that part when they went, yeah. It's basically pointing out, yeah, this has been debunked. Apollo 20 has been debunked a million times, and it's total BS. But no, it's just misinformation. Misinformation.
I think my absolute favorite part of the Aliens on the Moon documentary is when we get to the dude who read the book Someone Else is on the Moon, and he stormed a NASA archive demanding to see the original photos and then couldn't understand why he had to go through lots of paperwork before he got to see them. And like they were trying to stop him. One, I don't believe NASA ever let him in. But two, how demented and delusional are you that you think that you could just show up at a NASA classified archive with a copy of a book and say, I would like to see all the original photos today. Don't worry, I won't smudge them or damage them in any way, and I don't want you looking over my shoulder. I need to see them now. No forms, nothing. Don't figure out who I am. I just need to see them.
Yeah, and not to mention, apparently the threat that got him to see it was him going, I'm going to spread this conspiracy book everywhere.
Oh, you're going to spread a book about the conspiracies of what's really on the moon? Let me show you the clear photos to help you out with your book.
apparently because you're going to give the book out to everyone, here's the real photos that show everything that you want to see. Wait a minute, what?
Right, yeah.
You don't show him the, and again, if they actually exist, you don't show him the airbrushed photos and just say, this is the real one. No, you show him the real, what?
Yeah. And this dude, I think this dude just wants to get on the interview circuit. Honestly, it's not a bad idea. I feel like I should come up with some crazy claim about being abducted by aliens or having someone I know who works at NASA who showed me the photos so that I can make like $20,000 a year speaking at these stupid conventions and doing part-time TV interviews.
I'm telling you, that's what that one guy who was sitting there going, I saw the video of the aliens fight and talk to the general. You go, really? You're telling me you were in charge of making high-res photos of the moon so we could find the base?
I think that's what Mike Barra did. I think he found out that he could make more money or as much money and have a much easier work schedule and work-life balance by taking his actual scientific credibility as an aerospace consultant and the fact that he is smart and then turning that on its head and misleading gullible idiots to believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He's got to be making a good money just sitting back and spouting some craziness every so often and going, oh, where's my check? Thanks. And sitting at home doing nothing.
Right. The more I think about it, good for you, Mike. Good for you. You've made money off of idiots. And you know what? I don't even, I'm not even mad at him anymore. It takes a talent and a skill to be able to, it's not as easy as just, I'm going to say what people want to believe. He's figured out how to do it. He's figured out how to become an authority on conspiracies and be the go-to guy. And he's convinced all these TV shows to put him on. So, I mean,
I'm not going to defend that because that turns into money is morality and therefore anything you do is okay.
Yeah. He's a very good con man. That's what he is.
Yeah.
No, about it, Scott. I can't sit there and say, it's okay that he's lying to people and spreading misinformation and lies to make bank.
Very few people get to come home at night feeling, not everyone gets to come home at night feeling good about what they've done at work in a given day. You don't have to feel bad, but I mean, you know, even things that should be very simple, you know.
You're kicking, right now you're arguing against me on this is kicking the Great Wall of China, assuming you're going to knock it down.
No, I'm never going to make you agree with me. I've realized that about everyone in America in the last 6 months, but I'm just saying another perspective there's far more immoral things he could do than making idiots believe that there's a base on the moon.
I'm not going to sit here and say that it's okay to lie to make money off of someone. And to sit here and compare it like, well, I'm being some kind of obstinate jerk because I'm not seeing that other point of view. I'm sorry if I'm against lying and taking advantage of people.
I understand. It's the entertainment industry and he's found a way to be entertaining and make money off of it.
And it's deplorable.
Yeah. I mean, if he was a college professor like Jim Mars, you know, other big time conspiracy theorists about aliens and Nazis in the Third Reich, you know, actually teaching kids who are paying for an education on this BS, then that's a different, you know, ethical quandary there. But at any rate, let's move on from that. I mean, into whatever's next. But I mean, I just thought that was one of my favorite things. Oh,
You talked about, someone mentioned aliens fighting. I just wanted to make note that there was a scene where it looked like a white rod was going near another vessel. And I saw another movie, a documentary about space wars. And it was talking about the United States Air Force working on planetary defense lasers. And they showed that footage as a laser that was being used to attack an alien. But the laser came from Cheyenne. So in other words, one conspiracy theorist say it's a white rod vessel attacking another alien, and another conspiracy show says it's a laser.
I just kept thinking of the probe from Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the other thing I liked. Like, the conspiracy theorists run with this. NASA has a department that airbrushes out digital artifacts and photos before they release them to the public. You know, I really do believe this. I know for a fact. NASA adds color to all these pictures before they release them. Those pictures don't come back in this amazing color. NASA adds that because they know that's what you expect to see of a nebula. Those pictures don't come back looking like that. You know, if you see the true color image, it's boring.
Oh, yeah. There's editing done, but the difference between the editing they claim and what is actually done is massive. It's like, yeah, you put color in. You might even, like, get some lines out that's like, well, we don't need that there. Just, you know.
Yeah. You know what else NASA's never going to release again? The face on Mars. There's never going to be another face on Mars photo that comes out.
No. Because they're like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Can of worms opened.
I don't doubt that they have an airbrush department that looks at something and says, yes, this is a digital artifact, and it happens to look like Kang from The Simpsons is walking on the surface of this asteroid, or that looks like the Millennium Falcon. Let's get rid of that so that the idiots don't come out there claiming that we're hiding stuff again. And I mean, yeah, I don't doubt that they've got a art department that cleans up these photos so that the face on Mars never gets released again. Not because it's a real face on Mars, but because they just don't want to deal with the idiots.
Yeah. Well, speaking of released photos, I want to bring up the whole bit they jumped from the moon. They jumped to the moon of Mars. And they jumped. And then they went from that and went, there's a bunch. This is where it got really crazy. Where, like, A, there's a monument on this moon that looks like, you know, 2000s monument. Not really, but okay. Also, then they jump to there was two Soviet missions to this planet that got taken out by a spaceship.
I'm glad you said that. The Soviet probe ruined by aliens. Let's be honest with ourselves here. If I were a Soviet scientist, my probe got destroyed and crashed somewhere, I'd say it was aliens too if the Politburo was knocking on my door.
Yeah.
Definitely also, aliens, sir. Aliens.
Then this writer, I can't remember his name, but the writer went, and then NASA has sent probes out here, and they've disappeared, and they don't have said they don't know what happened. And then less than 5 seconds later, he goes, and they've never said what's happened to them. You just said they didn't know what happened to it.
Yeah.
They can't tell you what happened to something if they don't know what happened to it.
Well, it goes back to what I said before, though. They'll have some guy say, there's definitive proof, and then a moment later, no proof has been released yet. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, this definitive proof of a cannon, it's clearly a cannon. Mainstream scientists say that it's just a rock formation formed over years of impact craters being eroded away slowly on the surface of the moon. It's clearly a cannon.
Right. And this is the thing where they pointed to this ship, and they're like, this ship is massive. See, it's bigger than the Mars's moon.
It's like these writers for CW DC shows where they just contradict themselves 5 minutes after they make a point.
Well, they also go with the whole Star Wars issue where they just keep making it bigger.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I said. When JJ clearly got his ideas from all of this, because when you look at it, it's like, you know what? This is a better version of Episode 7. I like this better because it's just more fun and funny instead of enraging me at the fact that this is an unoriginal piece of garbage that just said, why don't we make Death Star bigger?
Absolutely, because this whole thing was pretty much that with, like, there's structures on the moon. There's a cannon on the moon.
There's now towers on the moon.
Now there's factories on the moon. Now there's a power. There was literally one point in this where the guy literally goes, it looks like the shield generator from Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? You've lost every single credibility point you even had.
I have to think they just sit these people down in a studio over the course of a day or two and just give them a topic and say, ramble on about this for a while. And then after that, they sit down, take all the pieces together and go, all right, let's see what we can piece together with this.
I feel really bad for the actual scientists that they finagle into doing this. And you can tell that they're just asking them normal science questions and they're giving straight answers and they have no idea that it's going to be cut up so that their answer follows something said by Giorgio Tsoukalos. And it looks like they're supporting an insane conspiracy.
That goes back to that point where I said, but with the interviews they use Buzz off, they never give the question they ask. It's always cut. So it's like, I want to know what questions they ask these scientists, what questions they're asking these crackpot cuckoos, and what they're asking, you know, Buzz.
But then because there's that.
It would be interesting to see the question and then the answer, but no, just cut it and go, and we asked him this.
But then there's the part where Buzz is like, there's never conspiracy theorists are never going to be happy. I'm not telling them this. They're never going to be happy no matter what I say. You have to wonder either A, they weren't paying attention when they left that in there, or B, some editor got mad and left it in there on purpose. And by the time it was done, it's like, oh, too late to take it out now. Too late to take Buzz Aldrin reaming us all for being conspiracy theorists. Whoopsie.
What else? There was the move. I'm trying to remember everything other than the crazy non-evidence photos, which was bad.
Apollo 20. They mentioned Project Horizon, which was just a study to see if they couldn't put some guys on the moon as nuclear defense, and that died before it even got anywhere.
Yeah, because that's the other thing where they're like, oh, thank you for bringing that up and reminding me. They're like, there was a plan. Yeah, there was also a plan to drop tactical nukes while we invaded Japan. There was also a plan, the Soviets had a plan, to make a channel using nukes. There's a bunch of plans that we didn't go through with because they were bad plans. The reason why we didn't go to the moon and set up a base is because it was impractical. And they looked at it and went, that's going to cost us more than it will be worth. And guess what? We can get the same use by using submarines. We just use submarines. We don't need to build a freaking base on the moon.
Yeah, exactly. So, plus there's that pesky thing about, let's just say there's a launch against the U.S. and we try to launch a counterattack from the moon. So it is going to take like a day to get there. You do know that, right? Versus like the hour that we could have or minutes by launching from, say, like the Mediterranean. We're going to launch from the moon and have that take days. This doesn't seem like a very feasible tactical idea.
Again, it wasn't. Hence why it wasn't done. Also brings up the point. Why if aliens, I'm sorry to harp on this, but why on earth are aliens setting up a base? If they are able to get here, they don't need a base and a cannon to point at us.
Well, actually, you know what I think it is? I think the better, you know, this can all be answered if you've ever seen the movie Iron Sky.
Oh, it's Nazis.
Yeah, it's space Nazis taking helium-3.
That's it. It's not That's aliens, it. It's the Nazi secret base. Gotcha.
Exactamundo, yes.
Oh.
Great movie, by the way. Great movie.
The second one was pretty good, too.
I didn't see the second one, but the first one, great movie. And I got to say, it's got a better setup for how they got there than Star Wars gave for the First Order. I keep harping on that. That's going to be my thing forever.
The second one is the Hollow Earth. But, you know, hey, the first one, Nazis are on the moon. Next one's Hollow Earth. So at this point,
that's fine.
That's actually, as you pointed out, a pretty good theory, because if you're going to go aliens on the moon, you might as well just go Nazis on the moon, because it's the same exact evidence to point to.
Working in concert. See, the Nazis used the bell to escape to their secret moon base that they were, you know, cohabitating with aliens.
Ah, the three-eyed aliens. The alien race would totally support. yeah. mingling with another alien race. Yeah, sure.
I don't know if there's other stuff you guys want to talk about, but I wanted to bring up one more example of conspiracy theorists just running with something and not, you know, isolating a clip and not thinking about it in its full context or accepting another meaning.
Scott, I've hit all my points, so you go ahead.
Neil Armstrong's speech at the White House in 1994, when he says on the 50th anniversary, or it doesn't sound right, whatever. Neil Armstrong's speech at the White House, where he says, "There are great ideas undiscovered. Breakthroughs available to those who can remove one of truth's protective layers. There are places to go beyond belief." These documentaries use that, especially the aliens on the moon, to try to say that Neil Armstrong was cryptically whistleblowing, that the truth is obscured purposely by the government, and we have to get past the fact that we're hiding the fact that aliens exist. Or, if you're an actual scientist and you follow the scientific method, you realize that the truth has layers hiding it from you. Any scientific truth has to be arrived at by peeling away the layers that obfuscate. Dang, I almost said that correctly. That obscure. I wanted to use the big word. That obscure the real truth. And that's how scientific research works. You know, it's like Picard says in The Measure of a Man, it's a crucible in which you burn away irrelevancies until you're left with a pure product, the truth. That's what Neil was getting at.
We have now gotten Star Trek in. Congratulations.
Finally.
Episode achieved.
Well, the other thing is they point, I forget which one it is, but where they point out Neil Armstrong after the moon landing, when they all look subdued and kind of sad. This doesn't look right. They should be cheering and high-fiving. They're not cheering and doing all that thing. It's like, you do know that Neil Armstrong was a very low-key guy, right? He wasn't the kind of guy that made a lot of fuss at all.
Oh, Rage Master, stop adding context.
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm just supposed to go with what they say, right? Excuse me.
You do know these are eggheads. I mean, they're going to react differently. It's who they are.
Yeah.
They're scientists.
Well, plus, I know people that sedate, okay? For a ministry I work, I go through, we have our raffle tickets. And some of the top prizes are like 7-day South African safaris. A ticket I sold, a guy I know won it. And then when I called him to say, "Hey, congratulations, you won the grand prize." Here was his literal response. "Incredible. That's very good."
Yeah,
I thought, are you kidding me? If anybody else I had told sold a ticket to had heard that, they would have gone, "Are you serious? Yeah." But this one guy was just so sedate. He just, "Incredible. That's great."
You know, it's kind of like, okay, I'll give you an example from a world that I inhabit, gamblers. If you go into any casino, you can see two different types of gamblers. You can see the person who hoots and hollers and loses their mind because they hit blackjack on a $25 bet. Or you can see the person who is up a ton of money and they win a $5,000 bet and they don't react. I sat down at a blackjack table in 2013 when the place opened, I think, with $200. 45 minutes later, I left that table with $5,400. At no point did I start screaming and yelling and jumping up and down like I have seen people at the roulette and craps table and blackjack table do for winning a $30 bet. And these conspiracy theorists would say, "You just won $5,300. Shouldn't you be screaming and hollering like everybody else in the casino?" No, because we're all different. We all react differently to stimuli.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess that means I didn't really win the money. I was a plant by the casino to make people think I was winning money.
Well, yeah.
That's, again, a great example of exactly what they do. It's a Rorschach test, the whole thing.
Yep.
You're looking at it and, as long as you want to believe, you will believe. They're not reacting because obvious. There's bases on the moon. There's aliens on the moon.
Yep. They're shocked and appalled. I mean, yeah. We got anything else you want to add, or do we want to rate this thing and wrap it up?
I think we're ready. I guess I would just add one final thought about this. Yes, it's a lie, so I still despise it. But the one silver lining is, the two silver linings are, one of them is that at least these guys, lying troglodytes that they are, at least they acknowledge the moon landing in this one. And second, because if they didn't, then the whole thing falls apart. But second, at least it was kind of fun. It was fun watching it.
It was.
The last week's infuriated me. I couldn't get through most of it.
Because, this was an entertaining one to watch, at least.
Yeah, so I guess let's rate it.
Space cannons. Space cannons. Okay. Full-out space cannon.
Lunar. How many full-out lunar cannons would you give this? Let's start with, as Scott cleverly made up, the what'd you do last week? The fun factor, and then what was the other one? Believability.
Yeah.
Let's start with a fun factor. How out of 10, how many full-out lunar space cannons would you give?
Eight full-out lunar space cannons. Eight. It's just enjoyable. The sheer stupidity of it is enjoyable. And what you want to see in these photographs and being able to delve into the craziness and people coming up with fake transcripts of Neil Armstrong sounding like Al Bundy. I mean, and as you said, it doesn't tick me off. This doesn't take away from the accomplishment of humankind and say one of the greatest things that our species ever did didn't happen. I can have fun with this one.
Okay. It's like the Bigfoot one.
I would agree with you. I would actually give it a 9. Just because this was an excellently done bit of craziness. It somehow hopped around just right, that never irritated me. And even though I'm like, you just contradicted yourself, you're stupid, this is dumb, it was kind of a funny dumb. So it gets a 9 out of 10 for fun.
Yeah, I would give it about a 7.5 for the fun, just because it's you're too busy laughing at it the whole time. You're laughing so hard that you're not angry about it. It's like the Bigfoot one. It's not. Last week's was just infuriating because the sheer and utter science denial involved.
Yeah, you stop laughing at points in that. You just get angry.
I get angry from the get-go. But this one is just, oh, ha, ha, ha. They really needed a filler episode for Ancient Aliens. What about the believability? I think I know how many full-out lunar space cannons this is going to get.
1.5 full-out lunar space cannons for believability.
That's more than I thought you'd give it.
I will say, while I don't believe that there is a military base on the moon, but an alien military base on the moon, by the way, I don't put it beyond the fact that we did possibly hide a retaliation staging area on the moon, or wanted to at one point. I will not say that it is impossible that on the dark side of the moon, there is an observation base by an advanced alien race that would like to observe a proto-civilization to learn more about themselves at that time. I don't, I don't believe that it's there. If you said yes or no, is it there? I'd say no. But is there some possibility that there's an observation base on the dark side of the moon that we can't see with the naked eye? And that when we got there on Apollo 17, they kind of met us and said, no more. I can conceive of the believability of that, unlike Bigfoot as a transdimensional alien, or I can even conceive slightly of that, but I can believe this slightly more than that, if that makes sense.
Is it possible? Could it be?
Could it be that we stopped going to the moon because an advanced race of extraterrestrial beings told us to stay away? I turned into a Southern preacher there, I think, for a half second.
Well, you sound like Mike, what's his name?
No, I'm supposed to be David Hatcher Childress when I do that.
Yeah, that one. That's the guy. That's the one.
Yeah. Okay, for myself, believability, one. Kind of for what Scott said, and also, sure, maybe in the past someone built something. Sure. Could. And again, I hate this. Could it be? Is it possible? Sure. So if you had to say yes or no, I'm going the same Scott. No. But one.
Okay, zero.
Good.
You're telling me there's not a giant space cannon pointed at my house right now?
I can guarantee it.
No, but it is a satellite dish, because it's a relay station for interdimensional cable. If Rick and Morty have taught me anything, interdimensional cable exists, and there's got to be a big satellite dish somewhere.
Oh, that's it. All it is a relay station. They're picking up Earth's TV and broadcasting it to their home planet. That's it. They're watching all our TV.
Listen, let's be honest. We're all a micro-universe powering the battery in Rick's car.
Morty, shut up.
Gee, I don't know, Rick.
That doesn't sound make sense, Morty.
Well, if the sickies have any ideas and want to rate it, how would they rate that, Scott?
That is a good question.
You give us 5 stars wherever you watch podcasts, or we will send David Hatcher Childress to interview you. No, I don't know him, so I can't say we're going to do that. But give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave us comments at our website at ravinglunaticmedia.com. 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 Could it be? Ravinglunaticmedia.com. And
before we go, I got to ask, did we get any word from Ethan whether he got his shirt?
No, but I will reach back out to him via email and find out and start working on the crossover podcast, because he's down for that.
If you have not answered back yet, or if Scott has not gotten to you and you hear this, let us know if you got the shirt, please.
Yeah. Next week, we save the best for last. The best, the one to have the most fun with.
Oh, boy.
The Earth is flat.
No, this is going to be like the second episode.
The Earth is flat. There's a ring of international warships defending the edge of the planet.
Oh, this is going to be a bad one.
It's a flat disc with a dome.
Yeah, here I thought we were just going to do Area 51, but I guess not.
Nah, this one's better. What's left for them to do, Rage Master?
Stay sick, sickies.